The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Handoff, Elliott plowing to the goal line. Barry, sacked by Lord. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now, your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, and Kyle Yeomans.
It is a terrific Thursday morning here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company at the SWBC Studios at the Star in Frisco. Today we break down the Cowboys offense, trying to light it up against the Texans defense. Welcome in, everybody. Alongside Isaiah Standback.
Hello.
Patrick Nosey-Walker.
Howdy.
We've got Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Fantastic.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah?
Yeah, just happy to be here, you know?
Just stopping by, visiting.
You got something on your chest there.
Oh. Yeah, say it with your chest.
Are you talking about my
yeah.
guest pass?
Yeah, your little guest pass.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, no. I'm just glad to be here, you know?
Stickers are cool.
I'm happy you're here.
Yeah. Where's you guys?
Full name, Isaiah Standback. Escort required. Yeah. It's about what it takes, right?
Yeah.
So what happened was.
I figured you guys might be jealous.
I am jealous.
I am, because stickers rock. That's why we have, you know, stickers after victories.
Good point.
I like it.
Good point.
Maybe we should
just put
one
that
on
one on.
Yes. Yes. That is happening next week. That is good.
Here's my smelly sticker.
If a practice squad guy gets elevated, has a breakout game, yes. but has to get de-elevated back the next day, visitor pass. Visitor
yes. That is Beamer, I'm telling you right now, that's happening. If we take care of business this weekend, this is going on the helmet.
There's been a lot of wins, and so there's a lot of stickers.
Clear some space.
That sticker's going to, we're going to have to find some space for it, because that thing is huge.
Some real estate for that.
Oh, man, that's pretty funny. gosh, I'm looking ahead, guys, to this Texans matchup, and I couldn't help but think about what we talked about yesterday. And I hate how confident this team is, or not this team, but like this team, as in the building with Talking Cowboys, okay. these three right here. I hate how confident we are in the fact of this is just going to be another game. It's not, there's no such thing in the NFL. But then a couple things continued to kind of come down yesterday.
These are toilet thoughts.
Yeah, a little bit. Just flush them away. 17-point favorites, the biggest point spread in the NFL this season. Cowboys lead the NFL in point differential, and toward the bottom of that list, guess who's there? The Houston Texans. Mm. Then you look at the injury report yesterday, Patrick Nosey-Walker. And the Cowboys had a couple guys sprinkled on there. However, Tyron Smith back at practice.
Yep.
You had James Washington in practice. Mm. And then the Texans, it's DNP, 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 DNP. It doesn't look great for the Houston Texans.
Does it look like a tanking?
I don't know if it's tanking or not. I really don't.
I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks coming out, right?
A couple guys. Oh, okay. C.J. Stroud. You've got Bryce Young. Two guys at the top of the list.
We're not accusing them of tanking.
I don't think.
We're saying that, you know.
It's convenient. It's convenient that guys are
practicing. Is what I'm saying.
Have they had a bye?
This is.
I don't think so.
That's a good
if they're 1-10 and 1, that's 12 games. So, yeah, they have had a bye. Tell us about news and notes,
Patrick.
Yeah,
I was going to say, let's use that to segue right into it, and we'll do it on the inverse. R. Houston Texans, ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself, because this is what their injury report looks like. All right. Mario Addison, dealing with a knee injury, did not participate. Malik Collins, who you guys and gals should all know very well from his time with the Cowboys, he did not practice, but his was a rest day. So Malik Collins looks like he'll play. Nico Collins, foot. Did not participate. Brandon Cooks, calf, did not participate. Mm. And it goes down the list from there. Derek Stingley, the defensive back, did not participate. Jerry Hughes, his was a rest day, did not participate. We'll talk about him momentarily because he's the team leader in sacks. Kurt Hennish, I mean, it's like I summed up in the tweet yesterday for the injury report. I kind of laid out the Cowboys injury report, which is short, and we'll get to that in a quick second. But then when it came to breaking down the Houston Texans injury report, just yikes. That was my professional assessment of their injury report. Just yikes.
Analysis.
Yikes. Cowboys-wise, Quentin Bohanna was limited with a knee injury. Doesn't seem like there's any major concern there. However, he was inactive last week, so that is something to keep an eye on. Good news is he's back in practice, and he is working through it, but we'll see if the Cowboys activate him this week or if they give him another week of rest on that knee. Jonathan Hankins, he did not participate, but his was due to a personal reason, so he's expected back in practice today. Hopefully the personal issue isn't anything major, but if it is, prayers to him and his family. Kelvin Joseph and Sam Williams, after the press conference yesterday, head coach Mike McCarthy said that there were a couple of guys that were quote-unquote under the weather. Injury report comes out, and those guys are Kelvin Joseph and Sam Williams, both tagged with the illness designation. They did not participate. Last week it was Trevon Diggs and Michael Gallup. Both of those players were active, very much so, in the game against the Indianapolis Colts. So we'll see how it goes with KJ and Sam Williams. KJ specifically because he is tabbed as the front runner to replace Anthony Brown. So this game is one of the first key games for him. And then from there you have Jerron Curse with the shoulder and DeMarcus Lawrence with the foot. Both of them were limited. Both are expected to practice today, tomorrow, Saturday, and be on the field on Sunday. So that's the injury report between both of them. Cowboys looking fairly good, assuming that Kelvin and Sam rest up and recover in time. But the Houston Texans, my word.
So kind of on the reverse end of injury talk, I mean, the fact that a couple guys were in there yesterday and the Cowboys were indoors yesterday, it was a little nasty outside.
Yeah,
they worked inside the Ford Center. Tyron Smith was out there. You and I both got a look. I thought he looked great. I thought the movement was there. He didn't look like he was laboring, nothing of the sort. What was your assessment of how Tyron looked?
Same, and this is something that just carries over from what we've been seeing, you know, in the open portion of practice over the past couple of weeks or so. He has been moving extremely well.
Yeah.
And there was one point in practice, I think it might have been last week, and shouts out to Haley Sutton. She was standing there next to me, and he being Tyron, he went through a full drill with Britt in the rehab cords, and it was full speed, and it included cuts and changes of direction, and I am in awe at how someone that size can move that freaking well. So when I saw that, I literally was taken aback, and I looked at Haley, and I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
That, again, my professional assessment.
Yikes!
In a good way. This is a guy who had his hamstring torn off the back of his knee the same day he walks out of the facility without even a minor limp. And, you know, a couple months later or so, here he is just out there running, you know, full speed. So yesterday was just a carryover for me. I didn't expect to see anything lesser than what I had seen over these past several weeks with Tyron Smith. He's back. So when the Cowboys say there's a chance that he'll be on the field against the Texans, believe it. Believe it. There is a chance.
Do you think there's a chance he's there this week, Isaiah, just based off of the injury and the timetable and what you've heard from the front office? Or is it more of just targeting? I don't think next week's out of the question at all. That's really the fallback.
It has to happen before Philadelphia.
Correct. So
I think the chances are it's a dumb and dumber chance.
Dumb and dumber
chance. So you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying?
You remember that?
I got that one.
You got that one.
Didn't get a night at the Roxbury.
People online were very disappointed.
I know. People were really upset.
We need you
to watch it. I need to get the login for the service.
Yeah.
That service. Yeah. Whatever it is.
I'm your plug.
Yeah. Nobody's watching.
Yeah.
VPN.
but yeah, no, I haven't gotten to watch it yet. I'll watch it soon.
But yeah, so I mean, there's a chance. I don't see it happening, but I don't know his health in terms of, you know, what they know. So I can't speak on it. But obviously, if you guys say that he had a good half and half practice,
yep,
and we'll see how the rest of the week goes. Well, I guess really today. And then,
no shells all week, right?
Yeah, it's no shells, it's walkthroughs. But I think what you could do is
he needs the contact.
Right.
Well, I would say he needs contact.
What I would
prior
say
to
is
playing in the game.
Put him out there, let him start 10 to 15 snaps.
Without shells?
No, I mean, he needs some shells.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm talking about if there's a likelihood of him playing.
Yeah, of course.
Against the Texans, you put him out there as a starter. You give him 10 to 15 snaps. You pull him. You let, you know, Tyler and Jason Peters finish the job at left tackle against the Texans. But you start the ramp-up process, which is basically what you just did with Anthony Barr, which with a much lesser injury, but nonetheless, ramp-ups need to happen, especially when you're out for such a period of time as Tyron was.
So is that a question for McCarthy maybe today? Is with the lack of pads in practice this week, and he made it known. He said it in his press conference that he's not putting the guys in pads. It's a scheduled thing. It's not because they're playing the Texans and they're taking the Texans lightly.
I think it's
just
important.
A day off, couple days off.
I think it's too important for it to see him with that full resistance.
Yeah.
You know, I think he needs some guys, like we talked about, right? When he comes back, he needs some guys getting after him, right? Whether it's Micah, D-Law, Sam Williams, whoever you want to throw over there, Tack. Don't do tack. Tack might be a little bit too much.
Doors.
But yeah, you know what I mean? You got waves, right? Throw some guys at him and do some one-on-ones. He needs to feel that contact. You just can't. When you're not in shells, and for people that don't know what shells are, it's you're wearing all football pads from the waist up, right? Yep. So shoulder pads, helmets, okay? That's shells. If you're not wearing that, then you just have helmets on, and you're not getting anywhere near the amount of contact that you would typically get, which means that he's not facing that real resistance and hasn't faced that real resistance since he got injured.
All right. So if for whatever reason, and typically they have a pretty robust practice on Saturday, if they change up and then go shells on Saturday, then that increases the likelihood and the chance, I should say, of him taking the field against the Texans.
There's no way they do shells a day before the game.
Fair. But
not for a 12 o'clock game.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a noon game.
Yeah, right? That's a good point.
This is a noon game because it's difficult to remember that this team gets noon games. this is a noon game.
The next two are noon games.
Yeah, this is just a noon game, right?
A lot of noon games down the stretch.
But to Cal's point, so if you know 7-7 isn't out there on Sunday, then I think it's as close to 100% chance as you can get that he'd be out there against the Jaguars. So
it's really sad that you don't get the experience of donuts that we have here in the studio on 12 o'clock game.
The Crow Nuts.
I mean, you get the experience of game. Kyle, myself, Barry.
I get the mac and cheese.
We're sitting here just in a.
It's pretty good.
I get the mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese is pretty fire.
You did.
Yeah.
You didn't get the smoked mac and cheese, though.
I didn't get the smoked mac and cheese.
Didn't get that one. Kind of continuing with this conversation. Not the food conversation, the offensive line conversation.
Come on, Kyle. No, I'm
trying to push past
that.
Stay
above 240.
Trying to. Yeah, no. No, not for me. So I originally wanted to talk about wide receivers, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But since we're talking about offensive line initially, how exciting is it? Because we talked about good problems on Monday, right?
Right.
Who do you put at left guard? Connor McGovern, Tyler Smith. By the way, the overwhelming majority of my Twitter poll was in agreeance with Patrick, but I think I'm in agreeance now with Isaiah. I think you keep it the same. I think you keep it at Connor McGovern. Connor McGovern hasn't lost that job. He's played really, really well.
He just wants you to have a friend.
I'm right there with you.
It's like Toy Story. You got a friend.
But the fan poll got it over there.
Yeah.
I don't want to make another debate. We've already thrown that out there.
Yeah.
But how exciting is it to not have a lack of offensive linemen, but have a surplus this time around? Because that's a huge piece of this puzzle moving forward that you didn't necessarily think going into the offseason that you had.
Front office has done an amazing job. They have over the last two seasons, they've been lights out. And I'm not talking about Sean Merriman. Yeah, they've been killing it. In regards to like completely changing this defense, personnel-wise. Completely changing the scope of this offensive line. Both of these areas have been concerns, right? They've been huge concerns. Right. You know, you look at the kicker situation. We thought that was going to be a complete
right? It was bad.
Right.
In
so
camp.
Every issue that has been presented in terms of potential downfall at positions, they've addressed it.
And the more incredible thing, and I think this also gives credit to the coaching staff. I mean, give the flowers to the coaching staff, too. Because and we talked about it on this show, week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a 19-3 loss. We came back into this studio and we said everything that was a question mark reared its ugly head against Tampa Bay.
Yes.
So, and then you lost your quarterback. So at that point, hope looked lost. Mm. The fact that all those question marks, which is offensive line, special teams, and a little bit of the defense in terms of stopping the run, all of those things were just torn apart, and so was your secondary in that game too. But with that being said, that's not a question anymore. I mean, these are all things that have been checked up, checked across the board.
Been addressed.
And been addressed since that point.
Going into camp, like you said, one of the biggest questions, hands down, was the depth at the offensive line position, mm-hmm. just as a unit. Mm-hmm. And here we are in, you know, mid-December, and we're talking about, you know, unfortunately you lose Tyron Smith, but credit the front office, Will McClay, Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones. You got Tyler Smith, much to the chagrin of a lot of Cowboys Nation.
Yeah.
Tyler Smith comes in and pops right out the left tackle, which is what he played at Tulsa, and he has acquitted himself very well as a rookie. Obviously, you're going to have your rookie hiccups, and there have been the penalties, but for the most part, based upon expectation and the situation he was thrust into, you could not have asked for much more from Tyler Smith.
And they picked up a big fella.
Right, you pick up Jason Peters, you lose Matt Wiletzko. Mm-hmm. You lose Matt Farniok.
Mm-hmm. Those guys, are things you can't predict. Right. You can't predict.
Right.
Nope.
So you lose. My point is you lose these two players, which you were hoping to get some contributions from as early as this season, and your offensive line doesn't lose a step. Yep. Not a single step. And that is before 7-7 gets dropped back into the mix. It's awesome. Phenomenal.
Great job.
Kudos across the board, front office, coaching staff, and of course we have to specifically mention Joe Philbin and his offensive line assistant. They've just been phenomenal. So bouquets of roses.
Scouting department too.
Yeah. Shouts out to the scouting department. That's where really that's boots on the ground right there. So
when's the last time you had this much confidence in the offensive line? Was it the Travis Frederick?
Fred Beard was here.
Yeah.
It was the Fred Beard era. Fred Beard, Tyron, Zach era. Mm. And then toss in some Ronald Leary for those that might have forgot about Big Ron, right? You know, that was also when, you know, Lyle Collins was here, but also challenging Leary for positions. And then you had, you know, that situation. But as far as depth and talent goes, it was that era. Not since that era.
I'm looking at Tyler Smith's numbers compared to Tyron Smith's numbers as a rookie. In 2011, Tyron had over 1,000 snaps. He had 8 sacks allowed and 30 pressures given up. 7 penalties total. So numbers that aren't necessarily great numbers, especially for Tyron Smith. I mean, he got better as his career got along, of course. But then you look at Tyler's numbers. He's had 780 snaps. He's allowed 4 sacks, which is half of what Tyron did in his rookie season with about 3/4 of the snaps, and he's allowed 25 pressures, which is pretty high for that number in relative at that point, too. I mean, fact of the matter is, when this season comes to a close, Tyler Smith at left tackle, in filling into a position that he wasn't anticipated.
I know what you're about to do here, Kyle.
I'm just saying, if he wasn't anticipated to play left tackle this year.
Say it with your chest, Kyle. It's
Thursday. He was anticipated to play left guard. Came in. Struggled there in the offseason, went right back out to left tackle, which was his position in the future, and he's having comparable numbers to Tyron Smith whenever they're both in their rookie seasons.
So you're saying
there's a chance. There's a chance he's your left tackle of the future, and he's shown that way that you wanted it to be.
He's your left tackle of the future.
Sure, but anything can happen either way, is what I'm saying. That's why it's always a chance. I mean, it's not foregone conclusion that he's going to continue to have the trajectory that Tyron did.
It's a foregone conclusion that they're looking to him to be the left
tackle of the future. Absolutely. I agree with that.
Now, will that manifest itself? Time will tell.
Yeah.
Trajectory says yes, but time will tell. Injuries happen, knock on wood. And, you know, dips in production happen, knock on wood. But current trajectory?
Looking good.
Got a
ball. Looking good. All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, does the wide receiving core even need Odell Beckham Jr.? We're going to talk about that, and we got an update on a timeline that I think completely changes the conversation. When we come back, right after this, with more Talking Cowboys.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, equal housing lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Did you invent
past your nest egg in an NFT.
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Experience the magic of the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters during Christmas time. With your ticket, you'll enjoy a 45-minute guided tour, Christmas cookies, and a takeaway limited edition Dallas Cowboys ornament. Select dates are now available and will sell out fast. Book your visit now at thestarinfrisco.com/tours. Now, I can't speak for everybody that is a part of the podcast, but if you see Patrick Nosey Walker, if you see Isaiah Stanback, you see myself, say hi while you're on
Please
the tour.
Please do. Hello. Please
yeah, do. Say hi. They tell you at the beginning, like, don't talk to people. That's a good rule. Don't do that. But if you see us, you can say hi. Just say, hey, can. Kyle, love the show. Hey, Patrick, love the show. Hey, Isaiah.
People do that.
I'm a big Film Room fan.
I was eating some breakfast yesterday.
Yeah?
At a particular restaurant, and one of the gentlemen that was working at the restaurant was like, hey, I listen to your show every day.
I
absolutely love it.
Love it. Mm.
Absolutely love
you
it.
You notice when the tourists walk past?
Yeah.
I'll typically say,
we all smile. Smile and wave.
I've never seen a tour actually stop and watch the break.
Oh.
I mean, they definitely just breeze by. It's a stop. It's a stop on a tour, you know, but they just walk right by.
I didn't know we were taking shots at people
shots
here.
What shots?
It's kind of
RPGs, baby.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's a rocket launcher.
Just freaking go, huh?
All right.
I was camping on the roof, scoping. Bang.
Absolutely.
Isaiah, are you a fan of cryptic tweets?
Cryptic?
Yeah,
tweets.
Mysterious tweets.
No,
Patrick, are you a fan of them?
You gotta understand, Kyle. I grew up in the MySpace era.
Yeah.
Okay. MySpace, Black Planet, Clay Christian Mingle, all that stuff. That's what I grew up. Okay.
Farmers.
I was with Facebook. Listen, I was with Facebook when you had to have a college email address. Okay, that's where the era I come from. We didn't throw cryptic stuff out there, Kyle. If you wanted to say something,
you said it
with your chest.
Say it.
Now everybody sits behind their little computers or their cell phones and sends out whatever they want to either draw attention or to throw shade or to act like they can say something. We'd act like they got their chest puffed out when they really wouldn't say it in person. The world's a different place now, Kyle. Mm. So now people say things cryptically to try to get some attention. Say it with your doggone chest.
I'm not a fan. And we will talk about really quickly what we're talking about specifically. Yep. But it's not exclusive to this individual. Just period. Across the board, I do not like cryptic tweets. Like, I'm with Isaiah. Say it with your whole chest.
I think it's corny.
I think it's a look at me.
I think it's just a corny thing.
I think that term was around your generation.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's cringy. Yeah.
Corny's better.
Corny is the older term. Cringy is the current, I guess.
That's
what
trash.
The kids say.
That's what I think.
Yeah, well, that's two. There was a certain wide receiver that yesterday put out a quick cryptic tweet following the news starting to trickle out that the Dallas Cowboys have cooled on talks with Odell Beckham Jr.
Cooled.
Yeah, not corny, not cringy, but cool.
They're still, quote-unquote, working on it. at, you know, per Jerry Jones. But I think cooled is an accurate way to describe it.
The reason why is not because the meetings went poorly.
No.
Everything was great, actually, from what we have heard. The players that hung out with him at the game, Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, were great. The conversations he had with Mike McCarthy went swell. Dak Prescott, Jerry, all of that, check. But then you get into the injury talk.
There you go.
That's where the holdup is. And that's where the holdup is league-wide right now, I think.
Isn't that why he's not on a team?
Correct.
Absolutely correct.
Is the injury timetable. You were thinking, here we are thinking, maybe next couple weeks he could come in and play. 2 or 3 weeks down the road. Maybe that Philadelphia game, he's there and ready to go and help the team win. Micah Parsons gave us a little insight that Odell Beckham told Micah yesterday, or I guess a couple days ago, but he said this yesterday, 5 weeks.
It's 5 weeks out.
5 weeks out, which would put him at right at the tail end of the regular season. So best case scenario, week 18, final game against the Washington Commanders. Or the wild card round, second best case scenario. Realistically, you probably wouldn't see him as a fully engulfed part of this offense until the divisional round or the championship round.
It's like I said earlier this week, the conversation moved to 2023 mm-hmm. as it relates to Odell Beckham Jr. because you simply don't know based upon, you know, the medical situation with his knee if he'll be able to take the field in 2022. Because consider this. If he did in fact tell Micah Parsons that he's 5 weeks out from this week, because they met earlier this week. If he told him he's 5 weeks out from this week, players will always tend to lean towards optimism, right? Best case scenario. So if Odell's best case scenario is five, that means realistically
it might be
seven or eight.
Oh.
Right? Which, and again, some things are just absolute in the world.
Yeah.
Death, taxes, and the ability of the Cowboys medical staff to do their job. Right? So if the Cowboys medical staff is looking at his you know, MRI and looking at his reports and they did the physical, the one over, and they sit back and they say,
not worth it.
Is this the same medical staff that found the issue with DeMone Clark?
Yep. It is.
Okay. It's still drafted him anyways because of their confidence.
And he's playing. Not a redshirt season. He's playing and making an impact.
Just for the people that were going to tweet something.
Also the same medical staff that, you know, for those that are saying Jalen Smith wouldn't take another snap in football. How's that nerve doing? So, again, death, taxes, Cowboys medical staff.
Best medical staff in the league, in your opinion? You worked with them straight up, and you worked with multiple. You were with the Giants, the Jags, the Patriots, the Cowboys.
The Giants have a really good staff. At the time, Jacksonville had a really good staff. But, yeah, Dallas, to me, as entirety, I think Dallas has us.
Was it close, or was it like blow them out of the water, sort of? time, and it's the same staff now.
Spoiled. So let's just say that I was spoiled, and I spent too much time with all my medical staff. But
I don't know if that's
that's not a good thing. But I'm saying organizationally, I was spoiled. Okay. I played for some really good organizations, but Dallas holistically, when you start looking at Jim, you look at Britt, and you look at Greg. Those guys, the three of them, plus the people that they bring on, that's a trifecta.
Yeah. And again, if Odell is saying 5 weeks. Players will almost always go to the shortest window, which means realistically probably looking at 7-8. So then the question becomes:
it's very telling.
Are you willing to sign and stash? Because that's basically what you'd be looking at.
I knew this conversation would go one way, or not this conversation. This debate would go one way or another once he got in the building.
Why is that?
Because of the medical staff.
Yeah.
The deal was either going to get done really quickly.
Because they said he's better than thought. Yeah.
Right.
I knew it. Like, we could talk about it all leading up to it. But as soon as he got in the building and they can get their hands on him and get out their medical staff and MRIs and all the other kind of jazz, I'm not sure all that took place, but I would assume all that took place.
It did.
He was either going to get done immediately or not at all.
Now, there's something to be said for those that are saying, well, you know, sign, stash, and while you're – because you still have James Washington ramping to come up as well.
Yeah.
And get Odell Beckham Jr. in the building with this outstanding medical staff that we're talking about so that he can finish his rehab here, and that might just expedite the process.
I don't think they wanted to commit to him. I don't think they wanted to commit to him beyond this year. Truthfully, that's my belief. I think they wanted him
for
this run.
Jerry wants his impact right
now. I think Jerry wanted him for this run.
If
it's not this run, we'll wait and see what we look like next year.
Do you blame him for that, though?
No. Not at all.
It's a great business decision, in my opinion. If he's not ready to play, then don't mess with it. We'll see it in the offseason.
And to answer your question, no, the wide receiver core doesn't need him right now. But you do need some insurance. Now, that might come by way of James Washington, who hopefully can get on the field and make an impact. But being James Washington or Odell Beckham Jr., you would like to believe or like to know that you're going into the playoffs injury-proof at the position. Because if player X or player Y, and I'm not going to say the names because I don't want to, I'm superstitious like that. If they one of those players goes down with an injury, and you don't have someone that is ready to step in and step up at a high level, you're going to be in very real trouble. But that being said, all insurance isn't the same. James Washington, albeit not the player that Odell is, he's ready to get on the field ASAP.
Yeah,
Odell. You could sign that insurance policy, and you still might not see it pay out in 2022, even if you need it. So many layers to this. But, yeah, Jerry Jones wants present tense, the impact now, because he wants to make the run now, and he wants Odell Beckham Jr. to be the additive now. If Odell and his team is saying, well, there's a chance, but we can definitely make sure that you're good in 2023 – then I guess the question for Jerry becomes, well, then what concessions are you making? Because you're going to have to make a lot of concessions for me to eat that.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think the conversation is completely turned. It's not the same as what it was a week or 2 weeks ago. And it's also a conversation I'm tired of having. I'm not going to lie to you.
Listen, not just that. There's some locker room fatigue with this.
You heard DeMarcus Lawrence said it yesterday.
He said, for those that missed it, I'm
tired of talking about it. Had to hit it because Micah talked about it yesterday, and then the timetable is turned. The decision is different. This is the last time I will talk about OBJ until the pin hits the paper, whether it's with the Cowboys or not. So that's the last time we're talking about OBJ. I want to shift that conversation into the wide receivers, though. The way that this team has built momentum. It's been in a different way than they've done it in the past, but it's been in a way that both I know Isaiah Stanback's talked about before, Patrick Nosey Walker has talked about before, and that's by running the football and being physical. So when we come back on Talking Cowboys, the run game is setting up the pass much like it always should have been. Where is the credit going to go? Is it going to Kellen Moore? Is it going to the running game? Is it going to the wide receiving core for being consistent and reliable? I'll mention what I'm talking about when we come back right after this on Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Lil' Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
The NFL is back in Las Vegas with the reimagined Pro Bowl games, and the roster is in your hands. Vote now and see your favorite players compete like never before. Text VOTE to 635-635 or visit NFL.com/Pro Bowl Games Vote. The Pro Bowl going on in Vegas. No more actual football game, but it's the Pro Bowl games, and they've got coaches. Eli Manning and Peyton Manning are going to NFC and AFC.
Did they really play football in the Pro Bowl?
It was a showcase.
Back in the day, they did.
Sean Taylor, when I was in the league.
Yeah, they were playing football.
Now they do not.
They don't.
Yeah, so they're like, all right, like we got to do something here.
That was the last of it.
Yeah, it's a walkthrough.
That's done.
Literally, was that 15 years?
It's been 15 years of not good. But now the fan vote is involved. The fan vote's still fun because you still get to send players to the Pro Bowl. 635-635, text VOTE or visit NFL.com/Pro Bowl Games Vote. Back here on Talking Cowboys, Isaiah Stanback, Patrick Nosey-Walker. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Gentlemen, here, what was that?
Say hi, Kyle.
Hey there. Here's the net passing yards over the last five games for the Dallas Cowboys. Chicago, 242, win. Green Bay, 262. We're not going to talk about that one. 307, Minnesota, big time win. 261 against New York, win on Thanksgiving. And then last week against Indianapolis in another big-time win, 165 yards through the air. Isaiah, you've been a big proponent of this since you stepped onto this show. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, and then throw it. Mm-hmm. It needs to be a run-first offense. Does the fact that there's some confidence around not only the offensive line, but the ground game in general with the 1-2 punch of Tony Pollard, so much so that it's opening up the passing game and these wide receivers are getting better separation and benefiting from it.
Absolutely. This is the key to success for the Dallas Cowboys offense. And you're absolutely right. We've talked about it extensively on this show. And it works. Look at there.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, Kellen Moore has matured and graduated himself up to what I consider an elite offensive coordinator. I think he was a really good coordinator before. But as long as he knows that this is effective, as long as he commits to it, you're elite offensive coordinator. You don't have to throw your way into the category of being an elite offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Your job as offensive coordinator is to put your guys in position to be successful.
Facts.
And score points.
Facts.
Whether that's on the ground or whether that's in the air. Some teams evolve differently depending on what you have available to you.
Yeah.
The identity of this team is just that. Run the freaking ball. You got a two-headed monster in the backfield. You got a great offensive line that's doing really well, scoring you touchdowns at the top of the league. Okay, they're protecting your quarterback. Okay, do what you have to do to be successful. Don't do anything outside of that because when you get cute, you become the ugly duckling.
Mm.
I like it.
I like that.
I mean, at the end of the day, the science is right there in front of you, Kellen Moore. Continue to consistently commit to the run to set up the pass because there are times where you've gotten away from it and it's come back to bite you, be it in the micro and you know certain situations or in the game overall as far as the outcome is concerned. More often than not, in the three losses, week one was such an aberration. I try not to even mention that because it was just such an aberration. But in the other two losses, those are hanging on your head because you got away from the run. You were up, and we don't want to talk about Green Bay, but one of the reasons for that collapse was you got away from the run.
Yeah.
And in which case you were up by 14 points. You should have used the clock as the 12th defender and just ran it down their throat, which you did. But looks like we're back to Kellen Moore understanding the level of commitment that is required to the run game when you have two dynamic running backs keep the ball in their hand until further notice. And then you have an elite quarterback you can allow to play off of that, and it just completely keeps the opposing defense off balance. And that's how you're going to continue to win games going forward.
So with that question, or that being the case, I've got a question on the back end here. which one do you want to utilize more against the Texans? Do you want to allow it to get your wide receivers a little bit of extra pub? You get them some air time, maybe lift off since we're playing Houston? Or do you run right at this Houston Texans team and just continue to wear them down?
I think you do what you've been doing.
Right.
Don't change a thing.
The only thing I want more of is Malik Davis.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I want to beat a team so bad that you start resting your guys.
Because he wants a bowl.
You know, that would be fun because Damian Pierce and Malik Davis were 1-2 on the depth chart at Florida together. So then you could kind of duel each other out a little bit.
I'm with it.
Speaking of rookies, I want to see them go at Jalen Petrie a little bit in coverage. He's been suspect in coverage all year long. I was watching the film yesterday. He was a big-time draft pick. I wasn't very high on them in the draft. I actually got in an argument with Brian Broaddus on
him. Didn't they go up and get him?
They did, yeah. He's ranked 85th of 88 safeties on Pro Football Focus right now. And like I said, grades I really don't pay attention to, but, I mean, 85th of 88. That's bottom four. That's just something to keep in mind. I want to see them attack the air a little bit. I agree with you. Don't change anything. Okay. Continue to run the football the way that you have, and then you can open it up a little bit.
Okay.
I want to see them take those mistakes away in the early parts of the game. That's a big thing, too.
And I agree, and I think that you will see the receivers, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Noah Brown, the tight end crew. And I think this is a good game to get Jake and Peyton involved a little bit more as well.
Oh, Peyton.
Yeah, I think you'll see them, you know, make a big play, respectively.
We used to call the Dallas defense the duffel bag boys. Every time I hear about those two, Jake and Peyton, I think of the duffel bag boys there, too.
Brothers. But, yeah, I'm with Isaiah in that this
Frickin' frack.
The month of December, you experiment where you need to experiment, offensive line rotations, because you got Teron coming back, cornerback opposite Trevon Diggs and outside of De'Ron Bland because you lost Anthony Brown. This is also where things are set as far as schematics go. You've determined that you're better run first team. Use the play action off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Start refining that. Start sharpening that more and more because not to look forward, but you kind of got to peek forward. Massive game coming up on Christmas Eve. The playoffs are here not long thereafter. December needs to be where you're hitting your stride, refining everything that needs to be refined and everything that needs to be experimented with. Tweak that, you know, get that worked out. So don't go into this game thinking, okay, well, yeah, it's the Texans and we can throw it all around the field. It's true. You probably can.
Yeah.
And the science says you can, right? Keep an eye on Jerry Hughes. I mean, that guy has 8 sacks, so contain him and then everything else falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
Get in there, punch him in the mouth, take whatever hope they have going into this game away immediately,
and then rest your guys.
Because this is a team, this is a team in the Texans that you can break their heart and their emotions and their hope in the first quarter because they're getting paid to do it. But I don't think at this point 1-10-1 and Cowboys, Chiefs, Titans are the next 3 opponents. These guys are ready to take it to January. They're ready for some vacations.
Viva
to Mexico.
La vacation.
Yeah, they're ready for some vacations. To
were
Mexico.
You ever on a team that had a season like that where it was 1-2 wins? I didn't think you were.
Not that bad, no.
What was the worst season you ever went through, regular season wise?
I don't remember the record. It was Jacksonville for sure.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was there a pride issue at the end, or was there a fatigue? Was it more pride we want to keep our jobs?
You're counting down vacation.
Exactly. Were you really?
That's what I'm saying. Okay. At this point,
you're looking at it like, what I got, 5 weeks? Okay,
they've
5 weeks.
They've been eliminated from playoff contention.
We're talking about 5 weeks.
Effective last week.
Yep.
And now you're going up against the Cowboys and then the Chiefs and then the Titans. Those guys, they're calling the travel planners. They're ready to get up out of here. So, you know, make it easy for them by putting them in a coffin early.
Yeah. They're currently the number one pick. That's no surprise at anybody. They've lost 7 straight games. That's first in the league, most in the league in terms of a losing streak. So,
and what
lost
you
7
by
straight.
Even trying to get up for these games,
nothing.
You're going to lose draft status.
Yep,
you're going to drop.
They've got the 13th pick too from Cleveland for the Deshaun Watson trade. So that pick is even looking better and better. They have no incentive to really get up there.
The only incentive they have is to try to beat the in-state big brother.
That's it.
That's all they got.
Everybody gets up to play them. Yeah. I mean, it's still, especially when they're good.
The in-state big brother, that's the only motivation for the Texans. But, you know, punch them in the mouth early with Zeke and Pollard, you know, break them. in the first quarter, and this game will get away from the Texans very quickly. Guys, you're going to see shoulders start to slump. Heads are going to drop. The plays are just going to get bigger and bigger. And if you think 54 against the Colts was something, if you break the Texans' will early, this could absolutely be a 60 stake.
2-14 my last year.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
That's really bad.
That is bad. But you were counting down vacation days?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You weren't the only one.
No.
In that locker room.
Get me out of New York.
Who was your quarterback?
It was sharing brochures.
Chad and Blaine.
Was it really?
Chad
Blaine.
Blaine
Gabbert. Gabbert.
Chad Henne's still in the league.
Where's he at?
He's backing up my homie.
Is he really?
I did not know that.
He's been doing that for years.
Oh, I did know that. You and I were in Englewood in that hotel lobby, and we were watching the Chiefs play, and Chad Henne trotted out there.
He's been doing that for years.
I remember that. That's pretty funny.
I should have learned how to play QB.
Yeah, right. That's a mistake.
I stayed at QB.
I should have never left.
Seriously.
Should have never left.
Drafted in 2008.
Wow. He's still sticking around. Good for him.
Yeah, drafted after me.
Wow. Yeah, good.
Interesting.
Good for him. All right. Tomorrow we've got Say It With Your Chest Friday. We're gonna talk about the nickname thing. We've got some decisions to be made, so we're gonna take some time tomorrow to do that.
Goon Squad.
We're gonna give you some matchups to watch tomorrow. We'll give you some chances to make some money.
Try to get something out of
on DraftKings. And then we'll of course give you the pick'ems, and we're going to pick some games over the weekend. That does it for us. For Isaiah Standback, for Patrick Nosey Walker, for Chris Beam, we'll see you tomorrow. More Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!